Child and adolescent psychotherapist Coleman Nochter joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Coleman. Now, we're going to be talking about the pressures of Christmas on young people in a moment. But first, the second part, is it, of the Children's School Lives study was released today, and it's about gender equality.
Yeah.
And you're writing about it in the Examiner today. It's a fascinating read, isn't it, the report?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's for primary school children. So it's looking at their journey from junior infants right to sixth class. But this one focused on the kind of narrow perspectives of gender that children have. Yeah, and some interesting findings in it. Some of you wouldn't be surprised. You know, kind of the sports is more boys, you know, drama, dancing, more girls. But it was interesting that we seem to have come a long way. Like back in my day, we had, you know, Ta Daddy Egober, August Ta Mammy Sakishtin.
Yes.
We've moved on from that. But there's still, I think, very rigid rules or kind of ideas of boys versus girl within that age group. What we found out was boys, as girls got older, they got much more wider view of gender, whereas boys got a more narrow view of gender, which is interesting. And that was, again, more pronounced in children who were in all boys primary schools. So again, that kind of, you'd wonder, are we doing enough or are we getting it right in terms of teaching children about
but
gender?
You would think, you know, anecdotally anyway, that more men are hands-on now in the home.
Yeah, you would think
think that then would be seen by younger boys and they wouldn't see the world as black and white as maybe we would have seen it.
Possibly. Again, there's all those other influences we know about online stuff, whether they're seeing things there. Still don't think there's an awful lot of men in primary schools.
That's an interesting one, yes.
Observation.
Because the majority of people who go for primary school are women.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the idea of gender equality is interesting. Gender equality is about having equal opportunities to do whatever you want. I worry that sometimes our gender is about, you know, making girls more boyish and making boys more girlish, if
yes,
that makes sense.
Yes.
It's not having more genders the same. It's having equal opportunity and no obstacles for each gender to choose what they want to do. And I think that's important. I know, like, boys will be boys and girls will be girls. And I think what I'm seeing is some girls, maybe teenagers, being a bit guilty if they're not doing STEM subjects and maybe they like pink and they like things. That's fine.
Yes.
You know, that's you. In a room of princesses, be Batman. But if you want to be a princess as well. Do you know, that was the kind of thing I was trying to take from it, that gender equality isn't about, it's not about diluting gender, it's about not having obstacles.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
And I suppose there would be more obstacles for girls than boys.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we think about gender pay gaps and things like that, there is a lot more obstacles to that. But, I mean, I work in a female-dominated profession all my life. You know, I'd love to see more
You're
boys.
You're a psychiatric nurse originally.
Yeah. I'd love to see more men in child psychiatry.
Yes.
That'd be great.
But traditionally, and it hasn't changed that greatly, the caring professions are mainly occupied by women.
Yeah,
and the menial, the sort of physical ones are mainly occupied by men.
Oh, for sure. And it comes down to you can't see it, you can't be it. And you know, a lot of stuff comes down to, we talk about curriculum and including, we talked a bit about the Nordic countries, but you also have to see it. You have to see boys and men doing jobs that are outside of that traditional role and girls and women doing jobs outside of it. I think that has a far more immersive quality on our understanding of gender.
So in Nordic countries, they actually have part of the curriculum where they teach this.
Yeah, they build it in from early on. So they're going to,
so they're actually exposing them to examples of
exactly.
Women working on building sites, men being nurses, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and as
so
always,
it's sort of force feeding them it.
I suppose they would say is introducing them
to all these different possibilities.
But to change things,
sometimes you have to do that initially.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I still think, you know, in terms of life lessons, you know, maybe when you see things in real life outside of just being taught it, it sometimes has...
Yeah, well,
you know,
we've seen it in women's sport, for example, over the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, and seeing the women's football team and the Katie Taylors, that's the stuff that will move girls towards that rather than learning it in the classroom.
Yes,
maybe.
Yeah, okay. Now, we've often talked about how Christmas affects adults and the pressures there, but there are pressures on young people as well. And one of them is ongoing at the moment, which is the Christmas exam. Now, I would have thought that there's no pressure there at all, but it seems that it's increasing.
Oh, it's phenomenal year on year. Like, if you were asking me this 10, 15 years ago, the stress was limited to the state exam years, you know, the junior cert, leaving cert. Now you see kids' second year geography exam getting absolutely in a hoop about it, like absolutely really stressed, up all night, blah, blah, blah. I don't know whether that's, you know, is it a societal expectation thing that we've created high levels of pressure? Is it a lack of resilience in children perhaps as well? It's a bit of a perfect storm. But again, I don't know whether the narrative is coming from parents, maybe that we're kind of, you know, up in the ante around seeing this as really important, or whether just young people are struggling with that level of expectation that they have to perform. We live in a more performative society than we did before. But it is really something we have to manage. And
is the education system more exam orientated so that everything is set against the backdrop of a state exam? Do you see what I'm saying? So even if it isn't a state exam, it's that's sort of looming large.
Yeah, I mean, I think the state exams are the kind of, you know, that high stakes exam is something we need to look at. But generally, I think there is probably more continuous assessment within the thing. But in order to prepare students for that high stakes exam, they sit them in exam halls at Christmas and summer and those sorts of things. And I can understand why you would do that. But again, it's just this high pressured situation that, you know, and it's the expectation that it's the meaning that you put on it. Do you know what I mean? And I know that, you know, when you go in first year for open nights and they're showing you the league tables of this school's achievement in 600 points.
Well, that's
and
how what I'm saying, yeah.
From day one, that kid is being focused on Leaving Cert. And, you know, maybe the emphasis has to be on other things. No, there's no maybe about it.
It has to be on other things.
And allowing children to grow in other ways, you know.
And I suppose the message to parents out there is that this is just a Christmas house exam.
Sure. And the other side of it is trying to get the kid to study who's not studying. Do you know what I mean? That's the other balance. But from the point of view of, you know, nagging doesn't work. So just park that.
What does work when somebody isn't
encouragement,
studying.
Incentive, you know, but, you know, we expect...
What sort of incentives?
I suppose from the point of view of their own value and self-worth and trying to sell the idea that when you get your results back, you'll feel a lot better if you've done a bit of work to it. Do you know what I mean? But from the point of view of when anxious children overestimate the challenge and underestimate their own ability, right? So your job is to put the challenge in perspective and remind them of their own ability.
Very good.
So this is not the end of the world.
Yes.
You did it well last year, you'll do it
You're
well.
Capable.
Yeah.
You're
and
capable.
The other one around, you know, how do you get a... I still haven't worked out how you get a child to study. I mean, you can lock them in a room with the book, but you can't do it for them.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No. Okay. And the other thing, the whole Christmas thing then, and lists and expectations around gifts and the pressure on parents to deliver when they might be cashed for strap or even strapped for cash. for strap. So how do you manage all of that?
I mean, I think we just need to, you know, the more perfect you want Christmas to be, the more disappointed you'll become. I genuinely believe, and I think in hindsight, perfection is forgettable. You know, it's almost what you'll remember about Christmas are the things that went wrong. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. In terms of, you know, I was saying, you know, when myself and my two sisters gave my mom the same present on Christmas Day, you remember that one rather than...
Yeah, I remember the 2 years in a row, I think, the power went in Kildare.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but that's what makes it memorable.
I don't remember the other Christmases.
And I don't know whether the drive, the financial pressure... I'm sure it does come from young people looking for expensive trainers or whatever it is. But the pressure to make it perfect is oftentimes a parental one rather than a child's one.
Yes.
And I would say embrace the imperfection. People will get tired. People will get cranky. There will be fallout. Something will get burnt. You will forget to buy something. Almost to embrace the imperfection.
We have 30 seconds of this because I'm sure parents are saying, right, I've been asked for this. I just can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, again, you have to live within your means. Don't overstretch yourself in that way. I mean, there's ways in which you can explain to somebody that, you know, you're still a valuable person in this family, but that wasn't able to happen this year. But it's about trying to be reasonable, you know, in that way. But I mean, trying to overstretch yourself to try and achieve this come January, February, that oftentimes comes back.
And what you said at the outset is important. If you set out to have a perfect Christmas, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, how many times it roasting chestnuts? Christmas is very different to that. So embrace the uncertainty of it.
Thanks very much, Colman Nocter. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.